the introit on your green insert. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. The right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may be made to abound in good works. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the Sunday after Christmas is from the 11th chapter of Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This is the word of the Lord. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The epistle is from the fourth chapter of Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Our sermon text is from Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now the text says that Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were said about Jesus. Therefore, the things which Simeon said about Christ must have been marvelous things. They did not marvel at these things because they had never heard them. Mary had been told by Gabriel that her child was the promised Savior of the world. The angelic choir praised this child with a glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who has believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord." Oh, Mary knew. Joseph knew of those things as well. He was told in a vision that what was conceived in Mary was from the Holy Spirit. Joseph knew that the baby was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. As Joseph pondered these things, he knew Jesus would fulfill the ancient prophecy of Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So although Joseph and Mary knew these things, they marveled. They marveled at these marvelous things that are spoken about Jesus, because this sermon by Simeon was public preaching, and everyone was listening. Oh, they had believed firmly these things for quite some time, but now these things were being preached out loud in the temple for all to hear. Oh, yes, Simeon gave a most beautiful sermon, a wonderful sermon, and he preached about the Christ. Now, isn't that what we expect from a sermon? We expect it, well, we want Jesus, the preacher. We want the preacher to take up Jesus in his arms and proclaim him to us. Tell us about our loving Savior. Now, I'm sure that Simeon explained that Jesus was God's Son. He spoke about how our sins are exposed by the law and how we have fallen short of keeping that law. And I'm sure Simeon spoke about how, well, the promised seed of the woman. Yes, that was Jesus. He told how Jesus would defeat the devil by his life and by his death. He would crush the head of that ancient serpent. Oh, what a sermon it must have been. But there is a detail presented in St. Luke's gospel that lets us know that this holy family who came in was quite poor. The law required that a firstborn child was to be bought back from the Lord. This was usually accomplished by a one-year lamb or a goat. They were to come to the temple on the 40th day. However, in the law, there was also a poor clause. If the family could not afford a lamb, they were allowed to bring two pigeons instead. Mary and Joseph fell under the poor clause, and yes, they qualified for the pigeon sacrifice, which they brought. When Simeon saw Mary and Joseph entering with this 40-day-old Jesus, He saw what was a somewhat needy family and a poor child. There was nothing which would have indicated that this family was special. Nothing would have indicated that Jesus was anything different. Nevertheless, Simeon disregarded everything which he saw and that which his senses took in. Like today's Old Testament reading, and the prophet Isaiah said, he didn't go by what his eyes saw and what his ears heard. Instead, he went on to praise this holy child in keeping with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Only the revelation of God could have told Simeon that this child was the Savior, that upon this child hung the redemption of the whole world. And I tell you, that's exactly what every faithful preacher does. He preaches those divinely revealed messages of the good news of Jesus Christ for all to hear. Like today, preachers draw our attention to the water, which normally doesn't wash away sins. But preachers speak of the promise that God has made of the forgiveness of sins and a good conscience before God. Today's preachers draw our attention to the bread and the wine, and they speak of the forgiveness of sins and the body and blood of the New Testament. Today's preacher extols the benefits of the words of absolution, which are the promise of forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. These works of God are not much to our eyes, and our senses cannot discern that they are anything special. But the works of God are declared to us through the Word of God, and thus they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. So Simeon is in the temple, and there were many who are gathered there, or with his preaching, I'm sure they began to gather. We can only suppose that there were also priests and scribes and Pharisees who were around. And as Simeon paraded around this Jesus in his arms and extolled the virtues of the Christ, you can be sure that there were those who sneered at Simeon. How could this poor baby be anything of importance? Just look at his parents. They're nothing. This child is not the son of anyone special. Oh, the old man is crazy. I'm sure that there were even those who took offense at these words. They may even have gotten mad at Simeon for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later in the day, I guess Simeon could even have gotten kicked out of the temple. Who knows? But finally, you must know. You must know that with Simeon's preaching, you must know that such preaching makes happy hearts. We too marvel. We marvel at the marvelous things, the marvelous words of Simeon, not because we disbelieve, but because it is so wonderful, wonderful for us, and we know it. We cherish the sermons about Jesus Christ, and we take them to heart. It is our heart's desire to dwell upon our loving Savior, to hear about His love for us. These are marvelous things, and our heart gets happy because we realize we've got the forgiveness of sins, those great messages. And like Anna, who heard the marvelous words of Simeon, we cannot but speak about what we have heard to those who are around us. Like the shepherds who heard the good news, they said, let's go tell people about this. We too wish to repeat the sounding joy. We wish to marvel at this lowly child born of Joseph and of Mary. Through the preaching of the word, our eyes have been opened to marvel at the lowly child brought by Joseph and Mary. What do we know? Well, we know that even death cannot harm us. We fear neither the wages of sin nor the curse of death. We can depart this life in the peace of eternal life. We give thanks to Christ, Death is but a shadow, and we shall walk through it. Oh, we wish to tell of the wonders of His love. And so Simeon's canticle, which is included in today's Holy Gospel, is called the Nunc Dimittis. Now, at Luther's time, this song was used in the evening prayer service at the end of the day. As darkness comes upon the earth, we entrust ourselves to God and we close our eyes and sleep. And this sleep, earthly sleep, reminds us of the sleep of death for believers. For you see, at the end of our life, we will close our eyes here in darkness and we will wake up in the light of heaven with Christ in paradise. This comforting canticle makes the heart glad, for it preaches to us the benefits of that Christ child brought into the temple. Well, Luther took this canticle and he placed it as a permanent feature in the divine service as a post-communion canticle, replaced the communion psalm, which changed with each Sunday. And so what do we experience today? Having taken up Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins, we too sing that we can depart in peace. It makes our heart glad. There are even some Lutheran hymnals that prescribe the singing of the Nunc Dimittis at the end of a funeral service in the church. And this too is quite fitting ending. It makes the heart glad. We can die in peace, for you see, death has been overcome. Let us be hearers with Simeon so that we know what is important and what is to be praised. When the gospel is preached, let us with Anna listen to the sermon with attention and understanding and take in those marvelous words. Let our heart be made happy. Give us a grateful heart and thankful lips to sing our Lord's praises to all who will listen. I've noticed this week, I was looking at pictures of the Nativity, paintings of the Nativity scenes. It has Joseph and Mary. Usually there is a small stable. In the center is Jesus, and He is lying in a manger. Usually off to the side there are animals. Well, this year I began to notice in some of these paintings, and not just one, but there are several artists who have included what appears to be on the back wall of the stable is a crucifix displayed on the rough wooden walls of the stable. And you almost don't notice, and then you go, wait a minute, that doesn't quite fit the time. Yeah. It's teaching us what we need to know. While I was waiting in the room for Eric to wake up after his surgery, I looked up on the wall in the hospital room, and I noticed a displayed crucifix on the wall of the hospital bed. You don't see that much anymore. When I first became a pastor, pretty well all of the hospital rooms had it. It wasn't long though before this displayed crucifix went away, and sadly, it isn't a common practice anymore. But similar to the preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ, you see, that crucifix foretells what is to come. And the marvelous words about our Savior, yes, Simeon was portraying. He was teaching. He was preaching that good news that this little boy was going to suffer and die and take away our sins. You see, that crucifix, that preaching, makes the heart glad and gives joy to the world. And today, we could use some joy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Page 143, Create in Me We Stand. Create in me a
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have fulfilled the ancient promises and given us Christ, the light for the revelation to us Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. For that we give you thanks. We give you thanks for all the blessings which you have showered upon us, for the gift of time, the blessings of this past year, and we ask for another year of grace. Let us praise the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Give to all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Gary and Michael, a sense of urgency, that like St. Simeon, they might proclaim the good news of our salvation in the Christ child, so that believers depart in peace. We ask that your church might not give up meeting together, but would gather to rejoice and marvel in your graciousness to those who look forward to the coming redemption in Christ. Take into your arms the children that attend our learning center. Bless them with your word so that they are filled with wisdom. Bless our director, Healy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord God, ruler of all nations, you watch over and guide all human history for the sake of your church. So give wisdom and guidance to Donald, the President, J.P., our Governor, Steve, our Mayor, to all who hold the authority to lead the nations. We ask that their decisions and exercise of power might serve your purpose and will, bringing about peace and quiet throughout the world. Defend and protect our military personnel who are scattered throughout the world, especially for Danny and Jason and Blake. Sustain them through long and lonely days and in your good time, return them safely to be united with loved ones. Bless those who work in law enforcement, especially Daniel and Alex. Grant safety, protection, rescue, provide for us in health care. Give all a right regard for their work, effectiveness in serving the needs of the community and joy of their service. O Lord, you are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. Look upon the tribulation and distress of those who are affected by the coronavirus. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide care for those infected. Calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. For those who are discouraged because of a lack of employment, in your mercy raise up opportunity for business and work, that in peace and thanksgiving all people may learn and be the bread of contentment. Let us praise the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Bless our Chuck and Carolyn, our elderly Violet and Bridell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, and Gib. We also ask your blessing upon our students, upon Jonathan, Pearson, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, Jacob, and Ashley. We give thanks to you for the completed study, for Kara and Andrew and Eric. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we Lord and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us through His own testament. Hear us as we pray in His name, and as He has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.